believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, for your presence, O God. And Father, for the assurance that you have given us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And realizing, Father, that the world is crashing against one another, we see the agitations on a daily basis in the news, on the streets, in the roads, in the malls, and it seems like wherever, O God. The people are just have a short fuse, and people have become angry for no reason, O God. Help us, O Lord, just to be out of that fray. Help us to keep ourselves in thy presence, O God. Help us to be tilled up on a regular basis, not knowing exactly when it is you call us to step into that other dimension. But may there be no hindrance to us, O God, as we cross that Jordan, cross that river. But help us, Father, to truly be ready. As Brother Branham said, help us to use this time as we come together to till up our soil and our souls, O God, to make sure that the seed has been planted right, that the seed is planted, and help us, Lord, to water it, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I would like to cover several differences between the Father and Son. These are differences that show the difference between mortal and immortal. The 19th difference that we have in our booklet is Jesus died, God cannot die. And from Mark chapter 9, verse 31, we read, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." So we're going to just give you half a dozen or more scriptures for each of these tonight, just to show you that, in fact, Jesus was mortal, God is the only immortal. Mark 10:34, "And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." John 11:21, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." And, that's actually not a good one. Okay. John 11:32, "Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying," John 12 and verse 7, "Then said Jesus, Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this." That's when she was anointing the feet of Jesus. John 19:33, "But when they come to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." John 19:40, "Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with spices, as a manner of the Jews is to bury." 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." 2 Corinthians 4:10, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." So it's not just one body, but in our body. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." So we have a contrast here. This scripture shows God the only immortal king, whom no man can see. So, not the body. All right. And 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, from Brother Branham's viewpoint, he said, from I Will Restore, he said, what did that Lamb speak of? It spoke of some 1,900 years later when the Lamb of God was led away to the Rock of Ages, and there with spit hanging off of his beard and his crown over his brow, the blood trickling down his shoulders, his bloody lock dripping around, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And remember, Abel died on the altar with his lamb. And every man that comes to Christ must die on the same altar Jesus Christ did, on the altar of self-sacrifice, forgetting your own ways, forgetting your own reasons, and taking God's word and saying, it's your word, Lord, I believe it. And there die, as Abel did on the rock with his slain lamb, same lamb that he died with, that died for him, rather. We die out to Christ on the altar of God's sacrifice. Oh my, that makes me feel kind of religious to think. God providing a way, and that I could not save myself. God making a way through Christ, not by works lest any man should boast, but by faith accepting it, and Jehovah God sending down the Holy Spirit, stamping a seal on it of an affirmation. Sealed how long? Until the day of your redemption. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Now, it sounds like Brother Branham was going one way and he turned and went the other way, but he wasn't. He wasn't when he was talking about the dying to yourself on the same altar as Jesus, self-sacrifice. He wasn't talking about works there. He's talking about dying. Works, you know, dying is not works. Dying is just getting out of the way. It's actually a lack of works. For a message of grace, he said, like someone said, Pilate was justified. He washed his hands. You can't wash the blood of Jesus Christ off your hands. You'll never leave this building this morning and go to heaven if you die in your sins. It's on your hands, so it isn't right. There was only one just way. There's only one way that could be. God's great law demands could be met. He had to meet it himself. He had to do it. God's a spirit and he can't die. So God had to be made man. And he died in human flesh in the form of a man called Jesus Christ. And that was the promised Messiah that brought the grace. There where you see that God and Christ is the same person, God dwelling in Christ, I and my Father are one, my Father dwells in me. It's not me that speaketh the word, but my Father that dwells in me. God in Christ, certainly. So again, Brother Branham showing us that God being spirit couldn't die, but God had to die. So God had to step into a vessel to die. And so he created a vessel. Now listen, that vessel you could say was a clone of God. Because, you know, you and I have a mother and a father. We have attributes from both sides of the issue. But Jesus didn't have two sides of an issue. He had God only. And so he was the expressed image of the Father. You could call him a clone, but a clone is not the same person, although he is the same person, if you know what I mean. In other words, he's got the same spirit. He's got the same nature. He's got everything the same because the DNA is the same. But he wasn't God. Because God, remember, God is not a person. God is an object of worship according to the language. God means object of worship. And God alone is the Elohim or the self-existent one. Jesus was not self-existent. He had a beginning. You see? But God stepped into that one who had a beginning in order to vicariously die for our sin. Because God doesn't have a body like a flesh body. He has a form and shape because Jesus had to come. If he came in his image, there had to be a form or shape there. It's not just some amorphous floating vapor. I mean, we've gone over this years ago in the study on the Godhead. We show that God has hands, he has feet, he has eyes, he has nose, he has, you know, all these things. He has a mouth, you know. Yeah, he has hair like wool. He has all these things. So we understand that God does have shape and form, but he's invisible, so you can't see that shape or form. So the Son of God, which was the DNA of God, only in a manifested form, brought forth and was the exact image or the exact representation. From the unveiling of God, Brother Brown said, God veiled in Jesus to do the work of redemption at the cross. God could not die as a spirit. He's the eternal. But he had to put on a mask and act the part of death. He did die, but he couldn't do it in his God form. He had to do it in Son form, as Son of Man on earth. See? He had to be in Son form. Then when he returned on Pentecost, he was Son of God again. You see what I mean? Get the idea? And from rising of the sun, he said, now notice this quickening power, Zoe, bringing the word, the mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you up also, and also quickened to life with him. You are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in his thought, but God had saw all in him at the finish. See? When God looked down upon the body, the spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die as a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and he didn't have to. And if he had went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of a death, because you can't kill God. But, well, he didn't have to do it, but remember, he went there with you in him. See? God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body, see? They are one, the same word. The same word spoken of the groom speaks of the bride. So we were there on the cross. Redemption's already taking place. We're just looking for the redemption of the body, that's all. Not of the soul. The soul was already redeemed. Number 20. Jesus hungered, Jesus thirsted, and Jesus was weary. But we know that God is spirit. He never tires, he never hungers, he never thirsts. And Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And yet in Matthew 4 and 2 we read, And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And Mark 11 and 12, And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And then John 19:28, After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So we see him hungry, we see him suffering, we see him thirsting. John 4 and 6, Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And Psalm 121 and 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So God doesn't slumber either. And Psalm 121 and 4, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. All right, so just showing the difference between God, the immortal, and his son, Jesus, the mortal. Number 21, Jesus was tempted. But you can't tempt God. God can't be tempted. Now you can try to tempt him, but you won't. God can't be tempted. James 1:13 says, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. So God can't be tempted. Matthew 4:1, Then Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark 1:13, And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Luke 4:2, Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward was hungry. So we see that the man Jesus was tempted. God cannot be tempted. From expectations, Brother Bram said, took him up on the pinnacle of the temple, said, Now dash your foot down, now just jump off of here, right here. It's written in the scriptures, I'll give you the scripture for it. Jesus said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get away from me, Satan. Is that right? He never clowned for Satan. He only did the Father's will. Now look, he didn't claim to be a healer, did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. When he passed all them crippled people and so forth, never healed a one of them. He healed a man that had a disease, something like prostate or something like that. He had it for a long time. He said, Wilt thou be made whole? Never healed any of the crippled. And the Jews questioned him. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing. Is that right? The Father shows me what to do, and I go and do it. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, died and rose from the dead, he said, The things that I do shall you also do. Is that right? That's a promise. And from God in his word, he said, Now, God doesn't tempt men, but God tries men. He tests them. God cannot tempt you, but God can test you. And every son that cometh to God must first be tested or child trained before he can be a son. And if we can't stand chastisement, the Bible said we become illegitimate children and not the children of God. Because a child of God is born of God, and he will stand the test anywhere, anytime, or any condition. That's right. A child that's born of God. He that's born of God does not commit sin. Notice now, Job was going through a testing time, and Satan had told God, I'll make him curse you to your face. See, that old accuser. God said, You just can't do it. I like that. God had confidence in Job. And notice, Satan come to him, and he done everything but take his life. And when all the troubles had happened to Job, I like to see him when that great hour of testing, when his members of his church came and accused him of a secret sinner, and Job still held on. He knew he was standing firm on God's provided sacrifice, a burnt offering, and he knew God required that, so he stood firm. Oh, I like to see him when he was sitting on the ash heap, scraping his boils, his children gone, and all of his riches gone. And there he was sitting, scraping his boils, and his wife even said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? He wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. From three kind of believers, Brother Bram said, Job, another believer. Sometimes believers put to the test, not sometimes, every time. For every son that cometh to God must first be chastened, tried, child-trained. Remember the trials, the dusty roads, the hot summer of persecution, but the loyalty of your heart beats that material until she's ready to go into the mold. God's children is made up correctly on His Word, for they are living examples and the Word of God living through them. See, the trial comes to shake you, to put you to the very bottom, to see where you're standing. See, tested and tried, every son that cometh to God. Job went through the trials and testing, his children taken and everything else taken. And the church members come, they're accusing him of being a secret sinner and try to say everything against him, but yet he wouldn't listen to any of it. He knew he had met God's requirements. He knew there's no need of Satan trying to tempt him. He knew it was the devil. And as long as Satan had made him believe that his sickness was his God doing it, he had Job whipped. But when Job once struck that revelation that it was not God, he was only going through his trials to make him something. It wasn't God doing it. It was Satan doing it. Now listen, we all have our trials and we're going to have more. Because there is going to be a squeeze. It's ordained. It's been spoken by a vindicated prophet. Now, it may not be the same squeeze for every one of us. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, we're all going to go through the same economic plight because it's coming. We see it coming. We know the plagues are going to come because Brother Ram said. But listen, I don't believe the plagues are going to strike us. They didn't strike the children in Goshen. They're not going to strike you. And you know, the economic plight doesn't have to hit you either. You know why? Number one, it's part of the curse. And if you're part of God, I mean, I'm not saying that you won't have. I'm not saying it's impossible. But all I'm saying is that these are curses coming down on the earth for rejecting God. This country just 2 days ago announced that they are changing their foreign policy to force other countries to give gay rights to the gays in their country. It's getting bad. And I don't remember, there's another thing that they just passed too that just, it's going through in the Senate right now. It's a bill going through the Senate. And it also has to do with the gays. And these things, brother, sister, look, when this nation is forcing, now remember, the beast in Revelation 13 enforces the beast of Revelation 17, 18. Now you know that homosexuality is really predominant in the Catholic priesthood. They've been doing it for hundreds of years, whereas the general public are just getting to it now. I mean, it's been around, but not openly like it is now. So we see these things coming down. Now, number 22, Jesus suffered, but God cannot suffer. In Luke 24:26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 24:46, and said unto them, it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Acts 3:18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And Acts 17:2-3, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Acts 26:23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was, which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, Brother Branham said from Hear Ye Him, and listen, if you get a chance, Brother Branham preached Hear Ye Him, I think it was 16 times. 16 times. I think the most he preached, I don't remember the sermon now, I had a list of them, but it was 22 times he preached a certain message. But Hear Ye Him, that's about adoption. You know, people think I'm crazy because I'm trying to get us to understand that spirit of adoption. Now, what is the last thing that's supposed to happen to the bride? Is it not a change of the body before we go? Now, didn't Paul say the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body? So if the adoption is actually the redemption of the body, that's being clothed. Remember, Brother Ram said that when the son is adopted, he's put on the father's best garment. Well, isn't the clothing we're going to have as a glorified body? Isn't that glorified body from the word endoxazo, which means basically to put on the doxa? I mean, it's going to be a body that's commensurate with God's mind. As Brother Vail said years and years ago, he said, can you imagine having a glorified body and not having the mind of Christ? You'd make ridicule of that body. You'd be doing things that God doesn't want you to do. That's why the son was not, he had to have the spirit of his father. He had to have the mind of his father. He had to be about his father's business before the father could trust him with 50% of his kingdom. That's why I've been preaching this for the last 4 or 5 years, because we have to come to the place where, you know, I'm not trying to beat your head with it, not trying to beat it over your head, but the fact is we have to have the mind that Christ had. We have to be in the same place Brother Branham was. Not the role, I'm not talking about being prophets. I'm talking about having the same spirit of adoption whereby we identify that God truly is our Father. Look, the whole world says God's our Father. I mean, the Catholics, they sing kumbaya, kumbaya, we're one in the family, one in the Lord, you know, and you know, children of God, whatever, you know, but they don't really believe it. They kind of believe it from a distance, so to speak, but they don't truly believe it, that flesh and blood, flesh and bone, word of word, we are God's seed. But we are. And so we ought to act like it. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not here to beat you over the head with it. I'm just saying this is my focus. My focus is, okay, if we are to get to a certain condition, then our focus should be on getting to that condition. That's all I'm saying. That's why I don't look back 50 years. Except for I do see the things that Brother Branham did, and I see and we've got the message which has continued on. But I don't focus on the miracles of 50 years ago. It's not the miracles, that's only to get you to eat the loaf. It's the wrappings. It's the life. Christ said, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. They thought he was a vampire. They didn't understand what he's talking about. He's talking about, like he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. That's all I'm saying. When we can come to the place where we can truly, honestly, in our heart, 24/7 say, my meat is to do the will of my Father, we're going to go. It's just that simple. We will go. So we're not there yet because we're not going. You might make it 18/7. Or you might make, you know, what I'm saying is we backslide 1,000 times daily because of the body of this flesh. But it's a matter of discipline, brother, sister. Dying to self is a matter of discipline. Just dying. What do you care? Like I say, when it comes to money issues, what do you care? It's just money. When it comes to somebody says something about you, what do you care? You know, you shouldn't care about somebody else's opinion. You should only care about what God's opinion is. And if you really don't know God's opinion of yourself, you're in trouble. You need to have a personal relationship with Him so that you do know His opinion. All right, from Hear Ye Him, Brother Branham said, now according to the Scripture, Jesus suffered once for sin, putting away all sin, sickness, and death under the curse. He taken the curse upon Him and was made a curse for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. He was here on earth. He lived 33.5 years among men. He did not claim to be a healer. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He was questioned one day when He passed through a great bunch of people and did not heal them. He healed a man laying on a pallet, and He was questioned. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in Himself but what He sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. He said the same a little while in the world will see me no more. That's the unbeliever. The world from this time will this time till he comes will see me no more. Now in closing, I would just like to read of the sufferings and rejection of God's servants that they must go through, because look, we are all kings and priests. Is that right? All right. Then if you are a king and you are a priest and you are walking in the role which God has placed you to walk in, you will go through rejection. Let me read it to you. Notice when the message is rejected and the messenger seems to be defeated. Not that he is, but it sure looks like it, because many more are against him. Paul said many more are the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. So when the message is rejected and the messenger seems to be defeated, that's when God steps on the scene. His message is over. Noah preached in the door of his ark for 120 years, till when he finally, they laughed him to scorn. Noah stepped into the ark, thinking that it would be just be all right. But God closed the door. And the people hung around to see what was going to happen. 7 days he sat there and sweated it out. And on the seventh day, the rain came. Moses, what was he in? The very line of duty, leading the people, the Red Sea got in his way. He was at the end of his road. It was then that God came with the east wind and parted the sea at the end of the road. It was Daniel standing on his message, I'll not defile myself with this king's world. Standing true to God, was right down at the end of his road. Seemed like the end of his time had come. They threw him in the lion's den. God stepped on the scene. And one morning, way down in Babylon, amen. I can look up at heaven, I can see a throne. Angels standing around. Look down here in Babylon, I can see a burning furnace. I can see three children standing there saying, our God is able to deliver us, see? But we're not bowing to your image because it's contrary to the word, see? We're standing here. All right, said the king, walk up the steps, you're going to be burned. Great husky men on the end of the spear, here they come up the steps, step by step, hotter and hotter. I can see an angel standing on the side of the throne, grabbed a sword and pulled it out and said, Father, look down there, what's going on? Let me go down, I'm Gabriel, I'll change the scene. Put your sword back in your sheath, Gabriel, I've washed it. Here another comes up, said, Father, I'm Wormwood, I'm the destroyer with the water. In the antediluvian time, man sinned and mistreated your people, and I turned the whole world into a globe of water. I washed Babylon off the map this morning. Let me go. I know you could, Wormwood. You're a faithful angel, see? But I can't let you go. This is my job. I'm going myself. And here you see them. I've watched them all night. I heard their prayer meetings. I've seen their stand for my word. I'll be there on time. Oh my. I can see him rise up and his kingly garments fall around him like that and say, come here, east wind, north, south, west. Step over under the thunderhead yonder. I'm going to ride you as a chariot this morning. I'm going down to Babylon. I'm going to change the scene. No, brother. He was right there on time. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. He's still watching tonight. He's watching me. He's watching you. He's watched whether we'll stand or not stand. What decisions we will make, whether we'll stand true to the word or get away from it, it's later than you think. Jacob on his road home. Inspired to go back home, his brother was meeting him. Oh, but one night he wrestled with God. He was scared to meet his brother. But the next morning he was a fearless, limping prince. I don't need Esau, nor his army, neither one. God stepped on the scene. See, he does in peculiar ways. Jesus rejected after being the vindicated Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. He was the light of the day. He's still the light, stepped on the scene. And the people, as long as he could, bread and fishes and loaves, they followed him. But when he began to tell them the truth of the word, that separated them. They had their own traditions they held on to. It was contrary, yet you know, he was exactly with the scripture. But the blinded eyes of the world couldn't see it. Neither do they now. Neither have they in any age, I mean as a whole. What happened, it looked like he was defeated. You notice from that very time, his popularity left him. When? When he began to tell them the word. When he could go and have healing services and campaigns, everybody wanted him. Oh, Rabbi, come over here, and Rabbi, come over here. But when his doctrine got started, oh, your teaching disturbs our people. Oh, goodness. Oh, I can't have you in my church no more. Rabbi, because why you confuse our people. Your teaching is so contrary to what we believe. And it hasn't changed. See, it's not. No, can't have you, Rabbi. Yet him being a vindicated, proven by the scriptures who he was, yet they couldn't believe it. Finally, he went on till the last moment when Satan thought, I've got him now. He crucified him on that cross. Down until finally they thought that they had him. Put him in the grave, but that's when God stepped on the scene. Up from the grave, he arose. Why? Well, the same thing, Paul. He said, Demas has forsaken me. All men forsaken him for the word. I don't believe Demas went to nightclubs and things, but Demas wanted to go. Demas was a rich man. He wanted to go with the popular people. And so he went off there where all the rest of them did. And when Paul said, all men has forsaken me, why, his ministry was coming to the capstone of it, coming down to the end. His desire was to be a martyr because he killed Stephen. He witnessed his death and sanctioned it. He wanted to die. When the Agabus, that noted prophet, stood by him and told him not to go up to Jerusalem, he said, I know not to go. But I'm not only willing to go, but to go in chains and be bound and bound to Jerusalem. But I'm ready to go and die for the Lord Jesus. What was it? He was sealing his ministry. O Church of the Living God, we could talk all night. How are we going to seal our message? How are we going to do it? God, help us to take this word, stand gallant. Let me die by the word, live by the word, die by the word, scatter the light, for it shall be light in the evening time. We're in that hour, friends. Let's believe it. As we bow our heads, first, I'm apologizing for keeping you all night, all this time, right at 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes, I think, exactly, but I hope that nothing has hurt and we're not to offend. If that's in our heart and soul, then we're wrong ourselves. If we ministers just say those things, my brethren here, these Holy Ghost-filled men, see. So, Brother Branham gave us a half a dozen illustrations. When you are living so true to the Word, and what you teach is so true to the Word, you cannot expect the people to stand with you, the ministers, your buddies. You won't be able to do it, brother, sister. Expect it. What does that mean? It means God's ready to crown your ministry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We love you, Lord, and we know Paul was our pattern, but we see the same pattern throughout. That trail of adoption, we see it in Jesus. We saw it in Joseph. We saw it in Paul. We saw it in Peter. We saw it in the different ones who were rejected, and yet you crowned their ministry. Father, we just ask that you'd help us, Lord, to empty out so that you could fill us. Help us, Lord, to stand firm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help us to stand firm like Daniel. Help us stand firm like every son of God who you tried and tested. But they came forth in glory, having the same values, the same opinion, and the same judgment as you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your seed in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Love Him. I love him because he first loved me.
I love him. Because he first loved me.